Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
To hell and back is in the job description. Being roughed up, scuffed up, run over, kicked, thrown, dropped, dunked, and done the unthinkable is a duty we've embraced for more than 40 years. Through superior engineering and constant innovation, only Pelican has conquered the chaos a life of ambition can dish out. And we've done it to empower you.
Yak Gadget, made in America, based outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Yak Gadget offers all kinds of storage accessories, quick mount motor mounts, anchor systems, track mounted accessories, even paddles. Go to yakgadget.com and get your kayak decked out for your next trip out on the water.
The 153 Bait Company, based in Troy, Ohio, make everything from plastics to custom painted hard baits. Hook them hard and hook them off. All of our baits are made to order and all of our hard baits are hand painted to order. So go to the153anglers.com to place your order today.
What's going on, Facebook and YouTube?
Okay. What's up, Ry?
How you doing?
Oh, you know, hanging out at the house today.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. How's the studio without me?
I got a lot of room at this table, bro. That's what I'm saying.
Be sure to enjoy one of the summer shandies on me.
You know me, I don't drink and drive, man.
I know.
A long ride home. had an epic show Monday night. That was pretty stellar.
Yeah. Nice and long, man. That's like one of the longest ones. I think that is the longest one I've ever been on.
It was just shy of 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
I think we had 10 or 11 giveaway winners. So that was kind of cool. A lot of interaction, a lot of great guests, and things like that. So, it was pretty cool. For those of you that won, you're tuned in tonight. All that stuff will be shipping out this weekend. So you should see that next week. It's been a busy week of podcasts for myself.
Okay.
This is show number 3 for the week.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah. But if you guys missed the last OG show, we had Armando Salon, Jimmy Skinner. We were talking about the three big kayak tournament series. And, you know, Armando was fired up, had some things to say. Me and Jay kind of played devil's advocate because I think when you're looking at those types of things, you got to play, you know, look at both sides of the story. Right. And, you know, I think, it was all great discussion. Everybody, had some pretty valid talking points and things like that. And then we found out our man, Drew Gregory, was in the van screaming at his radio and things like that. So, he reached out and he was like, "Hey, I want to come on and talk about this." So, we got Armando and Drew in the house tonight. Let's get those guys in here. Armando.
It's funny. I'm pretty sure he like specifically said Armando in the conversation.
Yeah.
So I think at one point me and Brian are going to step back.
No, like I said, man, I think it's great to hear everybody's point of views, and that's how you make things better, right? So. Yeah. What better way than to do it than like an open conversation like this? And you know, if you guys watching at home, you know, got input, drop it in the comments. Let's talk about it. So, Drew's at Champlain. So thanks for taking time, man.
Yeah, you guys can see here. It's pretty beautiful out here.
Yeah, you got great reception, by the way.
Good.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man.
That does look nice, man.
There's Theo. Theo, you got to go to bed, buddy.
What's up, buddy?
You got to go to bed. Go to bed. Dad said go to bed.
Go to sleep. Go to sleep, buddy.
Theo's first podcast appearance, you know?
There you go.
There we go.
Just like Dad one day. I like it.
There we go.
I like it.
But, yeah, I'm up here. I literally just got back from pre-fishing. So I actually almost forgot that we had this going on. I'm glad Jay sent me that message. I was scarfing down spaghetti. I get that message. Oh, shoot, it's Thursday now. Anyone who tournament fishes, you know what I'm about to say is true. When you're there for a few days before, you know what I mean, to pre-fish, you don't know what day it is.
Nope.
Because the world just goes in warp speed from the moment you start pre-fishing till the end of that tournament. And time's never gone by faster than during tournament weeks. I'm telling you, it's crazy. So I didn't know what day it was. I'm glad you sent me that message and glad to be on here. I'm not going to be on here like too long or anything because I do have to get some rigging done and get to sleep to get up early tomorrow. But, you know, maybe hang out for half an hour or so, whatever.
Yeah.
And, so, you some kind of sissy, man? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's keep it together.
Trust me. If you would have seen the stuff I've been doing up here and where I've drugged this pack, you would definitely not be saying I'm some kind of sissy.
That means Drew found that 10% of water he was talking about on Monday night.
Yeah, I got your 5% of my 5% Kate.
There you go.
I went back and re-listened to that episode again. That was fun being on with you guys and listened to Aaron Steiger, listened to Kate, listened to all the guests. It was a good show all the way around. It was funny because when Kate said that about me, I literally was just getting out of the shower and I turned after I got off the podcast, I turned it back on and all I hear is, I just want to beat Drew Gregory and Mike Iaconelli. And I'm like, what? I got a comment. I'm like dripping wet in the shower. And I'm like, I got a comment. I'm like, it's on Kate. So it was good. But anyway, not to belabor the point here. So you guys had a great show on talking about, you know, the Bass Nation Kayak Series Championship and how they do things and all that. And Armando, I feel like he brings up a good point. I'm on Armando's side of this argument. If you guys are playing devil advocate, so I'm not saying there's even a side. You guys were just choosing the other side because, to play devil's advocate. But I was used as an example quite a bit on the show because I did win the Hobie BOS AOI. And my point was simply what Armando was saying is the AOIs, and I think they're going to have one next year, Bass.
Sure.
Okay, I think they're going to have one. So this isn't like a big deal, but it's what he said. It was the thing that I should have re-listened to the episode, honestly, while I was driving around today because there was a few points. But the main one I wanted to hit on was the AOI is not that hard to do at all. It's like a spreadsheet you can put in all the standings and that it spits out the numbers. There's ways to do it quick. No one has to sit there like manually and whatever. But even if you did it manually, I mean, look, there's not that many people. It's not that long. It doesn't take that long to pull the AOI together for six tournaments or five.
Sure.
And what does it, and by the way, they sell, if you have an AOI, even if it takes time, they sell sponsorships for the AOI, you know? So like Farwide is sponsored for, you know, KBF and for Hobie BOS. So even if it takes a little bit of time, the money they're going to get for getting sponsorship for is going to way outweigh, you know what I mean? The amount of time it would take to pay somebody to calculate it and post a graphic about it and keep the intrigue going. It keeps these podcast going and talk about it. It keeps the anglers' names up always, which was Armando's point. It keeps the anglers' names in the forefront because, like you said, everyone was looking at Jody and Russ, and I kind of slid in. But fortunately, they did have an AOI with Hobie, and it just gave people reason to kind of talk about it. And it helps us. And since I did win AOI, when I'm at the Classic and I'm at ICAST, dude, I've been very fortunate and blessed to have some cool things on my resume that I mention. If I have a quick few seconds with a marketing person from a company, obviously don't go down this long resume. You just hit the highest points because Hobie had an AOI and I won it. That's one of the things that I, of course, mentioned. I'm like, hey, I'm the reigning angler of the year for Hobie Bass Open Series, which most people, tell me if y'all disagree, which most people in the industry commonly refer to as the highest level of competitive kayak fishing. It seems to have, if there was a power rankings, you know, for kayak anglers, you're going to have more of those top anglers in that series, I think, than others, but it's close. You know what I mean? Obviously the other ones are very talented as well. They're very close and I fish them all. So they're all great. But anyway, Armando was right. I feel like it's a huge thing because if the anglers are getting exposure, it gives Hobie the exposure. See what I'm saying? If I go and I get more sponsorships or I gain more value in that area, a sponsorship means that company's going to use me in their marketing once they sponsor me, because there's no point in sponsoring somebody if they're not going to use your imagery, your videos or something. And this is actually a great example. 13 Fishing is my rod and reel sponsor. And if you guys follow Bassmaster, Bass Nation on Instagram, or go to their bassmaster.com, they posted today the Tech Tip Tuesday, which they always do. And it's a video of me. It's sponsored by 13 Fishing. It's basically a tip video, but 13 Fishing, you know, sponsors it, and they put it together. They edited it, and it's me explaining. I haven't even watched it yet, but I sent them all the footage, so I'm sure it was a good edit. But I explained how I feel like the best way to fool a bass is a reaction bite. So if I gain in some reach, right, then it's only helping Hobie and KBF and Bass if you know, I'm the AOI, because it's only – the anglers are helping, you know, the series, and the series are helping the anglers, so to speak. And without an AOI, you can't do that. You know what I mean? It's as easily. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I thought Armando had a good point that it's not that much work. It's not an effort. And what do you guys think about that?
Do you feel it hurts Bass by not having the AOI?
Oh, for sure. I mean, but it's just this, they're just dipping their toes in the water to this whole thing. So yeah. They're gonna have one probably next year. But the other reason they didn't have one, guys, is because it's not just, you know, it's early. It's because they only had like five regular season events. It's hard to have an AOI over five events, because yeah, John, that's a great comment. John Rapp over there in the comments saying it's scratching each other's back, and it is, it really is. So anyway, but I think that with five events, it's hard to have an AOI, because if you even use the KBF for Hobie, where your top three count. Man, that's five events still spread very far apart, and it doesn't give you much opportunity to call one out, you know, if you have a, you know, or even get to all of them. If you've got a wedding, a birthday party, it's just not enough, because this is still a series for the average Joe who's working, you know, working man. And if I don't think five is enough, you know what I mean? So I think that if they do an AOI next year, they should probably hopefully have, you know, maybe six, seven or eight of these things, move it up a little bit. And let the top three count. The top three events count, 100 points for a win, something like that is what we'd all love to see. So
sure. Yeah. If there's one thing other than the angler of the year that you think they really need to improve on, what do you think that might be?
I think you guys talked about it. I think 2-day tournaments has to be done, and I think we'll see it. And the reason I say it has to be done is because I think people see the Bass, the name, and they feel like, well, this has to be the highest level of competitive, you know, fish, kayak fishing or whatever. And a 2-day tournament, a 1-day tournament doesn't ever prove who really is the best angler. It's like a golf tournament's 4 days, bass fishing tournaments, most of them are 3 or 4 days at the highest level. And you'll see when you go to the national championship or the Hobie events, or the ones that are 2 days, that more often than not, the same names continue to pop up. Not every time, but there's a reason, you know, why you see those same names, the Cody Miltons, Jody Queen, Russ Snyders, Christine Fishers, Guillermo, whatever, whoever, you name it, right? It's the same, a lot of the same names, because the more days you have, the more it really allows the better anglers to eventually kind of figure it out and get there. But anybody can kind of, not anybody, but it's a little easier to win a 1-day tournament, because you just have one good day and that's it. You don't got to back it up. So
true.
I think they need to change it to 2-day tournaments. Yeah. To get back to your question, just so that feels like more, you know, elite to have at least 2 days, you know, and then one day we hopefully three, where the only the top 10 fish on the third day. If you have a kayak fishing elite series 1 day, that would be ideal, where people are doing this more full time. And hey, if you make the top 10 and you got to, you know, you start it and do a Friday, Saturday, Sunday or something like that. Yeah. And it's going to be hard for some people to do, but it is what it is. You don't, you know, if it's an elite series and people are doing it more full time, then they'll obviously make the time to do that. And people fished FLW tour. I mean, that had full time jobs. You know, my, a guy that I met at ICAST and became friends with, because we were on the same Bass and Birdies on the golf team on one of the pre-event things they do down at ICAST. His name is Kyle Weisenberger. He fishes FLW, former FLW, whatever, the Big Five now. And he was a school teacher all the years he fished FLW. And his principal would let him off because most of their events were kind of during the summer. And then the ones that weren't, he would get those off. So people will make the adjustments they need to make, you know, to make it happen. Once this becomes more of a full-time elite series, and maybe we get some live stream on that final day, and they can start, you know, get selling sponsorships for that as well. So,
And I may sound like a dummy for not knowing this, but did they have folks out on the water getting coverage of you guys fishing?
Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
They had some, and I actually told them, I said, look, I'm on a school of fish. If you guys want to come, you know, with me, come on. And then they said, well, can a boat get in there? And I was like, I don't know, man.
Knowing Drew, probably not.
I was like, maybe not.
You're like, how much water can that thing float in? Is that a deep V? I was like, you better have a flat bottom.
You got a jet boat. Yeah. So anyway, they did have some people on the water covering it. So, but I can't remember which podcast I was on recently was talking about this, but another thing that someone brought up was how, you know, we need to see kayak anglers having bigger sponsorships and bigger, you know, sponsors, and guys need to get out there. It needs to happen because some guys are just winning all the time, but it's going to happen. We're going to get there, but and we can sort of like not complain, but, you know, you can sort of gripe if you want about the payout at different payouts. And a lot of people, you know, some people did about the championship there in Apostle Kingdom. But here's what you got to look at too. They're taking that money. Like you guys said, this was another part of the conversation you guys had. They have so much overhead, right? And the overhead, what they're doing is with that overhead, it's not like it's not benefiting the angler. It's the TV production they have, even just us on stage showing off the live streaming.
Yeah.
There's a lot of overhead going on there. So we need to take advantage of that as the anglers and take that exposure and then turn around and we get our money that way from a big event like this. It doesn't, you know, they give us a big stage. So we need to use that and turn around, and we can still get paid, even though not technically with the payout as much as we had hoped it would have been, but we can still get paid through the exposure they're giving us, because it means, dude, think about it. If you could say, I'm the reigning angler of the year for, you know, Bass Nation Kayak Series, like Bass. Yeah. That means something to all these companies. Like, look at the companies we're at the Classic, Cooper Tires and Toyota and all these big name companies that are non-endemic that don't, and again, no offense, but they don't know what a Hobie BOS is. They don't know what a KBF Trail Series is. They don't know. But they know what Bass is because they sponsor Bass. They're at the Classic. So there is that's the advantage that Bass is also giving us. Their huge following and the name that everyone knows. Because one secret, guys, on how you get more sponsors, if you want to learn, it's like if you get a sponsor that's known, like you guys were raving the other day about Pelican, right? Everyone knows Pelican. They make these great cases. That credibility that you're with Pelican is going to help you guys get the next big sponsor, because everyone wants to see who you're working with already. So when I tell people, you know, one of the few things I do mention if I have a short amount of time is like, hey, I've been with GoPro for like 10 plus years. You know, I mentioned a few of my bigger name sponsors that people know, like PowerPole and things like that, people in the industry, Z-Man. And that's the credibility that gets me to hopefully get that sponsor. So anyway, you get what I'm saying. We need to take eventually one day we need to, you know, if the payouts aren't as good as we'd hope, we can make it up by the exposure they're giving us, because they're using the money they're taking out of the payout. They're using it to give us that stage and that to keep the, you know, lights on for what they're doing. That gives us the exposure that's going to help us get a Cooper Tires or something big like that. But anyway,
yeah, I mean, it's like
I want to touch on my bad. I wanted to touch on something because I didn't bring it up in the podcast because I wasn't sure how true this statement was. But you're more in touch with what Bass is doing now. One of the things that I think I can't remember who, and I'm not going to say who wrote it in case it's not accurate, but somebody wrote on the KBN page that at some point Bass had said that they were going to do like holdouts to pay for the national championship. That did not happen. That did not happen at all. is that, and that's my big gripe. And I didn't mention it because, like, I knew about it, but I never heard it officially from Bass. So I'm like, I'm not going to put it something out there that I don't know if it's true or not. Mm-hmm. Do you know for a fact that that's true? Did you hear from Bass saying, hey, we're going to move money around from the other tournaments, and we're going to use it to pay out similar to what Hobie does in their TOC? Yeah,
I never heard it, but I would say it'd be in the handbook. They have those PDFs when you go on their website, you can download. It's if it's not in there, then it's not factual.
Official,
Official, that's the word. Yeah, so I would hope they would have, but again, I mean, I'm with you though, Rhonda. I wish it would have been more, and because here's what I feel like they should have done. They shouldn't have on the championship. I don't feel like they should have paid out all the way to 30th place because, you know, most trails pay 10%, right? That's what most trails do. And for the championship, we could have. I think it would have been important to have the biggest number at the top possible. Mark to win, 35 grand or 30 grand. That would have looked better than 20, and then paying out because this is the championship, man. You know, I feel like the reason why they did that structure, just so you guys know, they have a structure they continually use that translates over to their bass boat world. But the reason why they have a structure that goes so deep is because the Elite Series and other professional trails like the NPFL, if you look at theirs, or Major League Fishing, they pay out so deep because those guys are doing this full time. So you can't take loss after major hit after hit after hit after hit without recouping your entry fees and maybe making a little like 5,000 here or there. So that's why they pay out so deep. But we don't have people doing this, a few maybe, but full time 100%. So they didn't need to do that. You know what I mean? They could have taken all that money from like 15th place down, stacked it up at the top. And that would have looked a little bit nicer, you know, because that's one way for sure that our sport will get a little bit more credibility and respect when people start seeing these huge checks being held up, you know. So maybe they'll tweak that for the championship. Everything else, you know, pay out top 30 places on every other tournament if you want during the year, regular season. But the championship, hold back a little bit and then do that. Just top 10% and have a biggest check possible. And hopefully, Armando, add some tourism money in. Now that they have time to kind of get ahead of the game, I think we're going to see them have time to shop around to, you know, Greenwood, South Carolina, or Augusta, or Buford, Georgia, all these lakes, these, you know, towns near next year for Hartwell, and get some real money because they have the media they've developed from this year's event to kind of like show this is what it is. All these guys come into town, they spend all this money. And, it, you know, anyway, hopefully we'll get it. It'll get there. They're doing the best they can.
I think going back to what you said, you know, the big number of checks. I mean, you know, that's what you hear about, like when the KBF National Championship was $100,000 for first place, or, you know, the Hobie TOC at, what was it, 40 or 50 grand. Like, you know, guys chase that all year because they know those checks are going to be beefy. I totally agree with that. But, you know, getting to what you were saying about like guys doing it more full time, guys and gals, sorry, doing it more full time. I mean, what's your take? How long do you think it's going to take to get to that? Because, I mean, we're still, you know, like I know a lot of people like to think kayak fishing is a lot bigger than it is currently. But, I mean, we're still in our infant stages, you know? I mean, realistically, what are we, 7-8 years old? Like, as far as like bigger tournaments, you know?
I mean, I don't think it's a few years away for bass. They'll need a few years to continue to kind of build it. But I think what they need to do, if you want to get something more full time, you need to have entry fees that are a lot bigger, you know, because then the payouts are bigger and the sponsors, because one of the ways I sell what I do is I have a spreadsheet showing where I'm going and the travel costs, the gas costs, lodging, everything, and the entry fees. You know, I have a miscellaneous column for fishing licenses. I add it all up, and then I show the sponsors, hey, I'm spending like whatever, like $20,000, just say, on all this stuff. Now, when that goes up to, hey, guys, I'm spending $40,000 because the entry fees are bigger, they're going to be willing to kick in some more because, you know, they see kayak fishing is growing, all these companies do. So I think we got to get those entry fees up a little bit more and, you know, the payouts. And then the key to all that, honestly, part of the key is we got to figure out a way to live stream it on the final day like they do the Elite Series and everything else, because then that's something for them to sell. That's more exposure for the anglers, in which case, we can sell that to our sponsors. Because trust me, the pros out there, they're selling the fact that, hey, I may only have whatever. A lot of the Bass Elite guys, if you guys look, a lot of them don't have that many YouTube followers or Facebook or Instagram, especially the new guys. They can't sell that. Christine Fisher can sell that. You know what I mean? Greg Blanchard can sell that. So they're taking – so the place of the live streaming to all those people, right, the videos that Christine and Greg do, and I used to do more of, and I'm still trying to get back to it. But anyway, I go to a lot of places that I don't really want seen sometimes. So I've been like – I film it all, and I'm like, man, I really want to post this, but I can't give away this certain area. Anyway – but they're making those videos to take the place of the value that the Bassmaster Elite guys are saying, I'm on live stream to this many people. You know what I mean? And so I think that's kind of.
I think you're not going to have a choice though in the long run, because they're going to force it on you either way. You know what I mean? It won't be your show. It'll be theirs. So one of these days they're going to give up your spot. You know what I mean? It's just going to happen.
That's exactly right. See, I don't mind giving up my spot and having people following me if there's a value in return for me. So if they're filming it live streaming and Bass is, it's BASS going out to, you know, hundreds and thousands of people, then I get paid by the value that that exposure brings me. And I can say to my sponsors, and you could do deals that have incentives in it. But I think right now, just a little tip to everybody, the simpler you keep the deals, especially on the kayak side to sponsors, better, you know what I mean? But anyway, but I don't mind, Jay. Hey, you're right. One day they're gonna live stream it, and that's when I'm excited to like burn it down, throw it off, and it's whatever. At least it got me a camera on me, which means I was in the top 10 and hopefully winning, right? And B, the exposure that came from it. And it's like the simple rule of marketing, and all of marketing is the more you see a brand, the more you see a name, the more you see something, the more likely you are to buy it. That's why, you know, when they're campaigning, that's why you see those campaign signs in people's yard constantly, right? The more you see something, it's just the more likely you are. And that's the way it is with sponsorship. That's the way it is. These marketing directors don't have time to listen to every podcast, watch everything and see everything. So the more you can get out there, the more likely they're going to be watching one or seeing something. They're going to hear your name. So there's value when Bass used my, or 13 Fishing, you know, wanted to use me for a Tech Tip Tuesday for Bass Nation. And I got, obviously, like, I'm on Bass Nation's Instagram, I'm on their website. That lives for a week until the next one. I would assume most of my sponsors are following Bass Nation, right, on Instagram and go and seeing that. If they're a marketing director, or I really should say a pro staff manager or director, is doing their job. So, boom, there was one that I got in front of their face. They saw it. It's like, it keeps me relevant. The more relevant you are, the more likely you are when it comes to negotiation time to talk sponsorships. You are going to either, you know, maybe get a little bit more money or even just get the sponsorship if you're looking to get that category filled. But anyway, you guys.
Yeah, I think one of the end game, when we talk about the end game for kayak fishing, is live streaming and the opportunity for kayak anglers to not have to pay out of their pocket for the winnings. That's not that. I'll agree with John Rapp. Could take close to 10 years, but I think honestly, I think it should take less. I think 5 years before it starts really blowing up, and maybe 10 years where it's like, okay, now you can don't have to worry about tournament fees. I'm not hating on Bass. I'm happy Bass is here. We need Bass for this to get take to the next level. I agree with that. What I do have an issue with Bass is, and this is not a reflection on Dwayne Wally, he's doing all he can. And I've said it on when he was last year and I posted it. If there's ever a Hall of Fame for kayak fishing, Dwayne Wally should be one of the first ones to be in there just because of what he's done with Tourney X. So leaving Dwayne Wally out of this conversation, talking about Bass, my biggest concern, and like you said, Drew, it's not that I'm griping or concerning. We have to spread the word on what we think should be better in order for this, for people to listen and speak out their mind. Our podcasts are here not to cater to the corporations. We're here to cater for the voice of the anglers. And we try to get a pulse of what the voice of the anglers are. And when you look at Bass, my biggest gripe is, if you're going to keep more money out of the angler's pocket, to put in your pocket directly, because when you look at the tournament fees and what the payouts are, it doesn't pass the eyeball test. There's no way that's 100% payout. And I'm not saying they've sponsored there's a 100% out, because it's not. You look at KBF, an eyeball test. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're doing 100% payout, or at least close to it. Hobie BOS, I don't know their accounting, but it passes the eyeball test. You look at what they're paying out. You look at the cost. You think like, yeah, I think, you know, we're getting a fair deal. Bass is saying, I got Bass Nation name. I'm going to upcharge you for holding my trophy. And that's what I don't like and not a fan of. It's like you have the opportunity and the revenue and the resources to really put this on the map instead of just kicking the tires. And I understand you're kicking the tires, but you could be doing a better job of this instead of just giving it like, you know, again, not giving it the respect that I think it should. And there's a few things that we can pick on, but most of it's the way I see it. If you go to a dealer and you look for a mid-size pickup, the mid-size pickup is going to be this price. The low-end pickup is going to be this price, and the higher pickup is going to be this price. You're paying so much for an entry fee on Bass, for Hobie, so much for an entry fee on KBF, and so much more for an entry fee on the Bass Nation. If I'm paying more, I'm expecting to get the high-end pickup, not the low-end pickup, because I'm paying more. You're getting more money out of my pocket. And that's my point. I guess Bass, and I get it, they can rest on their laurels a little bit and say, it's Bass Nation. You know, we're doing you a favor by bringing you to our stage. But at the same time, it's what that thing. It's like you're charging more of the anglers and your payouts are less, and you don't have an angler of the year race that could help the anglers. And there's other stuff that unfortunately starts falling back on Dwayne Wally.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Because now you see that, and then anglers don't like it. I know a lot of anglers, and I'm not going to say name, they were upset when the payout came for the national championship. It came out so late. Well, that starts with like, look, they had to change the lake. Oh, look, we only get 30 minutes to post our picture, which is a big gripe on the Bass at Fork. When a lake that has no signal, very little signal anywhere, and you saw Guillermo, who was, I think, in third or fourth place, trying to get to first place, but now has to book it to the ramp. I think he even broke his keel, dragging his kayak up the ramp, getting on the car and driving 10 or 15 minutes to get a signal so he can upload his pictures, because Bass is only giving you 30 minutes after lines out to post a picture on a lake that has no signal. So those are small things that when you like now are being magnified and kind of reflect bad on the director, which is not fair, because people are noticing, well, you're keeping more money from us to feed your pockets, and now you're kind of like charging us with rules and things that really don't cater to us, caters to what you're doing. And that's my – I think it's fair to call it out, because we want the sport to grow. We want the sport to grow in the right way. I want to see the anglers. If I'm never going to be good enough to be a professional tournament angler, I want Drew Gregory. I want Russ Snyder. I want Ryan Lambert, everybody else, Christine Fisher, Catherine Fields, whatever, that's making out a career this to get paid. Because the Bass Nation Kayak Championship was amazing. Not because it had the Bass logo in it. It's because of what Mark Prendergraf and what Joel McElroy and even Brad Case did. That was one of the most exciting tournaments ever, and had nothing to do with the name Bass Nation attached to it. It was what Mark Prendergraf, Joe McElroy, and Brad Case did. That was amazing. And they should get paid for it.
Go ahead,
not
Jay.
Having to pay themselves.
Jay wanted That's to chime rant. In. Go ahead, Jay.
I was just going to say, I probably forgot half the things because our monitor just kept going. But
I didn't talk all this time. So.
No, I mean, but here's the thing. You touched on it. Yeah. You're paying for exposure, right? You don't know where that money's going, because even though they're a big name, there's a lot that has to do with infrastructure that you don't know about, that I don't know about. I guarantee you at that last location, just the facility alone probably was in the tune of about 20 grand
Let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there. A facility that was intended for the Classic. We're just picking back off it. That was already there.
It's all good and great, but at the same time, okay. So all right. It was.
Adding that tournament. Wasn't.
Let me get wasn't a, adding look, more can cost I get a comment in here?
My bad.
Let the boss Jesus talk.
This is round two.
Go ahead, Papi Chulo.
So it's getting piggied back off the Big Bass. It was going to be there anyways. Okay, so at what point do the Big Bass guys go, how come the little kayak guys are getting all this crap for free and you're taking this out of our money? It's a double-edged sword.
What do you mean to get a cap for free? I'm not saying if you want to charge, it's your business. If Bass want to upcharge the anglers, fine, do it. But do the other things right. And I understand Dwayne Wally was here last week and he has a responsibility, you know, as Bass to say, hey, well, you need to be patient. And he's right. We need to be patient. Bass is new at this. But it's not really that hard. And Bass is really just putting the name out there. Dwayne Wally is doing all the work, you know? And people that maybe don't notice, and you look, and again, I'm going down the rabbit hole. People are going to scoff at what I'm saying, but look at who is Tourney X's biggest partner, Bass Nation. Do you think Bass Nation is paying the same fees as Hobie is paying for Tourney X?
Who knows? We don't know that.
Who knows? But you're telling me this is a bad. You're saying we're partners. Okay, it's on their website. Our biggest partner.
Every contract is different. I know. There's different stipulations to everything, and nobody has to like live up to one certain thing, right? And I still think you're like, I get it from an angler standpoint. You're going to be critical to the eyeball test, but at the same time, it's like everybody's been saying, they're new to it. They're just getting in. And how do you know too? Not all those funds go for like this year's stuff either. Like there's sometimes when you have a business plan, sometimes some of those funds are going to next year's too. So you got to think of that as well, because they may be thinking already about pre-season of the next year. Maybe there's care packages going out when you go to certain look. Drew, do you get? Are they giving you guys stuff when you go there? Like you getting shirts, hats, and stuff, something like that.
They give us a hat, and at least the top 10 guys. And there's other stuff that they have given us. I can't remember. There's a few things, but there are other little things that they do. But I mean, I agree with Armando. We all know that, and they'll admit it. Dwayne will admit it, but it's also his hands are tied to some degree because he's not a tournament director he's not running this for Bass in terms of making the decisions. He's got to go up to people above him, and he comes on this from the tech side, not really a tournament director side. I mean, he's done some for sure, but not at a national level and all that stuff. And he's trying the best he can to get maybe even a committee of guys together the same way. I mean, Major League Fishing has ran by the anglers, a committee of the anglers, and they also fish it. It's insane at that highest level that the anglers are actually making decisions on rules and boundaries and things like that that can affect how they perform on the field, which is nuts. That'd be like the NFL players making the rules that, you know, that might have helped one team or the other or one position or whatever. Certain players are faster. I don't know, whatever. It's kind of odd. So we can certainly have a committee of guys if that's how it happens, but they need one person to be the actual tournament director. Mm-hmm. Of the kayak side, and then they go sell the sponsorships to all the locations, which they've already, I'm telling you right now, COVID messed them up big time because it put everything back. Trust me, we're seeing the effects of it through this championship, but they would have had more time to get sponsorships with tourism departments to, you know, get hopefully more money for their overhead, which would put more money back to the anglers essentially. But I mean, you know, there's little things like, I really agree with you that 30 minute to get the photos upload, like Hobie does it the right. And I think KBF may give us an hour too. Yeah. But I mean, you need that, man. So on the second day, I had to stop in where my truck was midday, like 1 o'clock, go drive to get signals, submit them finally, and then go back to the spot, you know, that was letting rest, hoping to catch one more. And at worst case, I said, well, I've already got 91 3/4 inches in. Worst case, if I can't get back, get signal, I'm okay. So 30 minutes is a stressful amount of time for the anglers when they have no signal and they're far away. And we shouldn't let technology dictate the winner of these tournaments. You should be able to fish in legal water in that boundary. If you want to go somewhere, you know, super far and you can't get back in an hour, that's kind of like on you. That's enough time. You know what I mean? So, but I agree. Those little things are going to get fixed real quick, real quick. That's going to happen. So, it, you know, the other thing I'll say is this, like, look, I don't know how many Hobie Bass Open Series doesn't even have an Instagram, right? They don't, they have a good following on Facebook group or whatever. Maybe, I don't know how many people, if someone wants to look it up, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 fans on the Hobie Bass Open Series. And KBF's Instagram, and again, I'm going on one platform here, but KBF's Instagram has like 70-something thousand followers. Well, Bass Nation has, I think I just had a minute ago, it's around 700,000. So Bass is, dude, they are expecting us and to make up the money that they're using for overhead, which is the overhead is going to build, going towards building their brand and getting, continue to get their reach and exposure out there, again, back for us to go sell to sponsors. So that's where they're hoping we can make up that money. And because listen, if you right now, Ford came to you and said, look, we will, you know, put you on the official Ford fishing team, right? And even if you had to pay, like, if at least a vehicle, and they said, we'll split a lease with you, it's $500 a month, we'll split it, you pay $250 a month, you paying $250 a month for 12 months and being able to say I'm four on Ford's fishing team will make you 10 times the amount of money than it would to not be able to ever say I'm on Ford's fishing team. Does that make sense? So Bass is doing that with their name. It's kind of like they have to pay their overhead to grow that reach. So anyway, but we're going to get there, Mondo, with those rule tweaks that are simple. Those are going to be simple fixes. They'll be simple.
That's what we're here for, to mention it and create awareness to it. We're not here to batch on it. And I'm sorry I'm interrupted, Brian. We're not here to batch on it. I'm not here to hate on them. I want Bass. I was at the Bass Nation. I drank the Kool-Aid. I was at the Classic, and I was at the Expo with Douglas Rod. I loved it. There's a vibe on it. It was amazing. The stage with the top 10 anglers for the kayak series. It's amazing. It gives you goosebumps. I love it, and I want it to continue. But there are things that have to be mentioned. And I hope nobody gets offended because we're not. And again, I don't want this to fall back on Dwayne Wally. And John Rapp just commented over there that that's he's right what he just said about the 30 minutes. The problem is that falls on like, well, yeah. And I'm not saying it's Dwayne Wally's fault, but I give a lot of credits to Dwayne Wally because he's the face of what Bass Nation Kayak Series, and he has to, you know, he has to make up for all the Bass. Their shortcomings and put on a face and try to do the best to grow the sport with it. Go ahead, Brian. I apologize.
No, the one thing I wanted to touch on, you know, getting back to, you know, the professional angler and growing more of that, like what Drew was talking about. And, you know, I'm going to ask you a question, Drew. I'm not looking for numbers or anything like that, but you obviously aren't surviving solely off of tournament winnings, correct? You're, you know, you got sponsorships, you're doing media correct. Stuff and things like that. You're a very well-established angler. You do really well at public speaking, obviously, you know, all kinds of engagements. And when you look at those top anglers in the kayak fishing world, you're about the only one. You know what I mean? There may be a few other ones. Like you mentioned, Christine Fisher doing YouTube, Greg Blanchard, Chad Hoover. But until some of these other guys understand how to use their social media platforms and rep companies and things like that, I don't think you're going to get to that level. I mean, if you look at all the big, you know, bass boat guys, whether it be Bass, MLF, FLW, whatever it may be, you know, those guys aren't surviving solely off of tournament winnings. And I think that's a big misunderstanding in the fishing world in general. You know, a lot of guys think Gerald Swindle's just a hammer and he's won so much money. Well, he makes most of his money from doing, you know, big, you know, media deals and brand deals and things like that. So I think that's a thing too, and I don't want to take away from it, but I once heard Scott Butcher talk about that on a podcast. Like, we need more of our guys to be more professional and things like that, where, you know, you get them in front of a camera, they're more personable.
Right.
People can relate to them. They represent themselves in the brands they represent well. You know,
well, you're a brand too, right?
Yeah. So you yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why some of these guys come across so well. And like, you know, and one of the biggest things and one of the biggest takeaways from listening to any of these guys, and I think Ike and Ellie touched on it one time in one of his videos,
people think that these pro guys are fishing all the time, and it's completely the opposite, right? They're spending, like, the only time they fish is when they actually get to go hit the lake for a tournament and fish. And then look what KVD gets, a helicopter these days to scour the lake quick. And then he gets on his boat, you know, to get in there. I mean, and he's flying to locations because he's doing media stuff. He's doing commercials. You know, I mean, he's all over the place. They you know, all your sponsors, and Drew probably can, you know, attest to this. There are some legal obligations that you have, that, you know, you have these responsibilities and these promises that you have to keep, no matter how much time that takes you, you know, and it takes away from your fishing time. So right now, like, the luxury is being able to go fish these things as a kayak fisherman. But what about when it blows up and you're having to, like, stay in one place, or you got to go to one of your sponsors that's like 900 miles away from your next tournament, and you got to go do like 10 hours of commercials or some kind of, you know, recording and all that. So that's the reality of it, is when you go pro, it's not the romantic side that you think it is.
Yeah. I forget who once told me, but they said the further deep you get involved in the fishing world, the less you actually fish. And I can totally relate to that. The more we get into this podcast thing, the less I fish. I used to fish 4 or 5 days a week. Sure, I'm lucky, man, if I fish one day a week now. you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, guess when I fish only, I don't fish. I live in Northeast Ohio, right? I've been there for over a year, like a year and a half, I guess. I don't know. And guess how many times I've fished Lake Erie? It's 45 minutes away.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Twice. Probably once.
Zero.
Zero. Oh, man.
Other than in the mouth of a river for steelhead in the winter. But anyway, I've been up there. I'm going to fish East-West Harbor KBF, though. But zero, and I fish when these tournaments go on. I don't really fish locally. If I'm fishing locally, it's because I took the family out to a local lake. I only fish these tournaments are. I know I am fortunate that, I think I may have said this maybe on the other podcast, but I can't remember. I've been doing a lot lately, but I am fortunate that my time on the water and my experience came from being single from the ages of 18 to 35 when I met my wife, Christina. And all I did was fish, 34. She's correcting me over there. Was I 34?
Was 34. She's like, 34. Excuse me, Drew. Right. That's all right. You're in the doghouse now, brother.
18 to 34. All I did was fish. Time on the water. I don't anymore. That was my practice. That's how I kind of know what I'm looking for when I go to places. But you need to be, you know, doing that as much as possible. But the more you get into it, like you guys said, the less you actually get time to fish because you're doing other stuff now, and that's where your money is made. So that's the kind of the thing. Like for kayak fishermen now, they don't have live stream, right? There is no elite series. So we have to do something else. You have to, for me, it's working with Crescent. I get, you know, sponsorships because I've obviously, we talked about the other day, sort of been one of the, like you guys said, even quote unquote, one of the guys that helped sort of pioneer this sport, you know, got into it early on and continue to kind of grow that, like you said, Jay, my brand, and stay relevant, right? So you got to do something else. And me, it happens to be Crescent and that stuff, right? And I did a YouTube series, Hooked on Wild Waters. I mean, like, do my podcast. You got to stay relevant because we don't have the live stream that they're doing. Now, if you're Brian Thrift and you're winning all the time and you are on TV, you don't have to do anything else. You can go to sponsors because they're doing this something else. They're getting, but here's the thing, though. Not many people really are. The you know, the top of the top that we see making all the money in winnings, right? Most people are not that person. So Matt Airy is a good example. He does a podcast with Brian Thrift, and he's probably the closest guy I know on the Elite Series. Matt, good guy. I mean, great guy, and he's never looked any different at me than anyone else. That's one thing I appreciate about him. And they never looked at it, said, "Oh, he's a kayak fisherman. I don't really want to talk to him." He, you know, he's always open to help me out. We shared, you know, sponsorships and things like that, and references if not. But he does that podcast on the side. He's really good in front of the camera, as we all saw at the Classic. He's just a really good dude, you know, and he does stuff besides being good at fishing. And he's been, you know, he's been on the Elite Series a couple of years, and I think he's ended up in the top 10 or 15 in AOI standing at the end. So he's a good angler. But he's not like the top of the top where he can do nothing like Jacob Wheeler, just win, and they're just going to come flooding money when he contacts right. him. He needs something else. So he's got the podcast, and he's doing stuff with Team Toyota and other folks like that he's doing. So we need something else because we don't have the live stream yet, but we'll get there. Once we get there, and if Russ Snyders and Jody don't want to do anything else and they just keep winning and we have live stream going, showing them crushing it, they don't need to do anything else. They can make a living doing it off winnings and the sponsorships, but we're not there yet. So you got to do something else. And or go ahead, Jay.
Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. But that's another thing too to bring up is that like the guys who are crushing it aren't doing social media for the most part because they're on the water, much, and they're pounding. They don't have time to do it. Now there are those special few that can balance both doing that, you know, both doing videos or doing podcasts and video, also fishing, you know, and also traveling. So that's like, there's so much to do. And I really think like I think most of your work is done up front, and then you have to establish, I guess, like we'll use Drew as an example, right? So from his, you know, from his years, you know, 19 to 34, right? 34?
Yeah,
34. see, I'm getting brownie points. But I mean, 19 to 34, right? You pounded the water everywhere. You were just killing it. Now things are slowing down for you, right? So now you're traveling. Now you're doing sponsor stuff. Got the family. You don't get the water time you used to, you know, you're still bringing in enough funds to do what you love. You're still winning, or at least in the top 10, you know, you're still placing where you need to be to get some cash. But it's not what it once was. And you have to rely on what you had from the past, you know, to apply to the present and the future now, you know, cause again, it's just not going to be available. You're just not going to have that time anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I think that's a common thing that people overlook as well. It's like, I just think there's this romantic side to all this that everyone just wants to fast forward. Like, I don't want to call it entitlement, but it's like, dude, we got to pay the dues. It's just like, there's, you know, and the one thing that Bass is going to do, they are going to push it to the forefront. They're the only platform that's going to be able to do it, and they will correct the other things that you're talking about, Armando, that Drew's brought up some points. Like, those things will be corrected down the line because the end will justify the means within the next few years, you know, because, again, they have that infrastructure to make those changes, to bring in those sponsors, to give you your bigger payouts, to put you on that platform, to make sure that the whole world knows your name. You know, but you have a piece of it too that you got to put into it.
Yeah. I agree with that. And like I said, my biggest thing is not hating on Bass. It's more like, let's talk about the things that could be better in order for us to move it forward. You know, and that's just I want them to be full in. But again, it's one of those things when you start charging more and putting more in your pocket out of the anglers, other things are going to get magnified, other mistakes, other little things that maybe we don't really pick on Hobie because they're the standard for it, or KBF because they're, you know, you go to a KBF event, like I was saying the last show, and you get fed, and, you know, like I got like a full meal and two drinks and nothing out of the menu was like, no, you can't order that. It was like, whatever you want on the menu, two drinks, whatever alcoholic drinks you want, that's fine. Well, that speaks. I'm like, oh, I only paid $100 for a tournament. I'm getting this in exchange. That's pretty good.
I want to counter you, but I want Brian to say what he's going to say.
Yeah.
I said, if that's all it takes, you're a cheap date. But what I will say, What I will say right here, right now, and if anybody from Bass is listening, me and Jay have kind of figured out the live stream thing. So if they have no live stream next year at the championship, Jay and I will show up and show Bass how to do it.
There you go.
We've been live streaming our paddle and fin trail series events, and we have a formula. If we had more people, it would obviously go a lot better. But I will say that right now, like, if they don't have it next year, we'll show up. We'll show those chumps how to do it.
Mm-hmm. I'm calling them out. And I want to do reverse devil's advocate on your side, Armando. So to your point about them putting money in their pockets, think of this. And I don't know if this is true, but maybe it is. They're coming from the other side of things, right? They're coming from the big stage. They're coming from $100,000 payouts. Big money. They got people to pay, right? What if they're still paying those people that amount of money, and there's still, again, there's requirements to contracts, even with people that are, you know, on the payroll, maybe some of that money's going to them, and it has to for right now. You know what I mean? So I think that's something you got to think about too. Is it fair? I don't know. Right. I'm not fishing it. I got no skin in the game. So me saying this, I can easily armchair this, right? Cause I don't have to look at that money. You know, and I won't ever. I'll just lay in the head now. I'll never have my hat in that ring, and that's okay. But this is
the thing, Jay. Like, and you may be right. I may be completely being an ignorant when I say.
No, this. I don't think you're ignorant at all. Dude.
This is the thing. Bass pretty much puts the name. That's it. Okay, this is Bass. Dwayne does what he's saying. Patrick Malone does what he thinks. Big shout out to them again. I can't emphasize this is not a reflection on Patrick Malone, Steve Owens, or Dwayne Valley. It's not a reflection on them. Bass really puts their name on it. That's in my opinion, and I could be an ignorant, but
aren't they entitled to that though? Aren't they entitled? How long has Bass been in the trenches, dude? Do you remember when you were a kid and you had the magazines and you get the subscriptions and you were super stoked to get the free lures?
I agree with you. They're entitled to it. I agree. What they did with the 10 at the end the next day, I thought it was great. Big props up to them. And again, I'm a big fan of it. I grew up watching Bass when I was 10 years old. My tackle box, my fishing rod, right in front of the TV on the floor, watching it. I love it. I'm a big fan of it. Do you see what I'm telling you? What I think, my opinion on it, and again, I could be ignorant about this, is to me, Bass Nation is putting the name out there. That's great. We all benefit from it. There still could be things that could be done better.
Oh, sure.
The option is to grow. And I know that Dwayne is going to do his due diligence to defend Bass and say we have to be patient. And he's right. We have to be patient. However, there are other things where I said, like, this is cutting corners. There are things that I say, this is just cutting corners. Okay. I'm going to off-charge you, but I'm still going to cut corners. And that's why I was like,
That's what I'm saying. Their formula is probably off by a bit, right? Because they're boat guys by trade. And now they're dealing with dudes in plastic boats, dudes and dudettes, right? So, like, I mean, you've got, like, plastic boats rolling around now. And you know, maybe there's some degree of, like, maybe that little bit more respect that we should be getting that we're not. Yeah. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just saying. But maybe they don't take it as serious and they want to just see if it works.
You can kick the tires. Let's see if it works.
Yeah. I mean, and that's really what I think this year is. This year is a trial run. And they're going to hear you on this podcast and they're going to be like,
they're going to say, who's that idiot?
That dude is never fishing this tournament ever again. No, I mean, but they're going to take
you. No, I did. It was nice.
No, they're going to take you with everything you said.
Real quick. Drew said he was going to be on for a half hour. We're almost at an hour. Drew, we'll let you say your final thoughts and get out of here, man. You got to get some rest, retie.
Yeah. I do.
This weekend, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. So here's what – I'll play another devil's advocate. Here's what is – probably happening. Okay, they didn't have enough time to get as much tourism dollars as they wanted in support of this because of COVID. It pushed everything back, right? So this is all COVID tournaments right now, basically, because they were planned during COVID, and it just ended actually right now. We can say pretty much ended. So here's what's probably happening: the money they held back, they know they need to hire a full-time person they don't have a tournament director that manages this at all. They know they need to hire someone. Where's that money going to come from? So if they're putting that money back, and part of that money, like you're saying, Hang on, I just pulled my headset out.
You're not 34 anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say 34, brother.
Let me touch on something real quick. You said they didn't get the money out of the tourism. They said they just announced that it was the second highest presence, like the second biggest Bass Classic ever, like attendance ever.
That's
so
not what he's talking about.
Yeah, I'm talking about.
No. But I'm saying that Bass didn't take the money out of tourism they wanted, and Drew may be right. But I'm just saying they did announce this is the second biggest audience ever. So they didn't struggle either.
No. That's the money we're going to see because of that. We're going to see that next year because they can show. But here, no one was there for maybe a few people, but no one was there for the kayak thing. They're all for their Bassmaster Classic. So what I'm talking about is Graham or whatever we were. We're not Graham. Grayford, Texas, or Mineral Wells, whatever. The money they got from them was not much. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm talking about Eufaula, Lake Fork, everywhere they went. They didn't get the tourism money. Probably they were hoping to because they don't have a full-time person working on this to do it. And it was so we're the low man on the totem pole. But if they're taking that money and they have a formula now where they can hire someone to make it full-time, and let's say someone in the money they do, they're pulling back, they have more overhead. For example, there's overhead. I write articles. I've been blessed to write articles for Bassmaster on the kayak side. I don't know if you guys have seen, I've done like three of them so far. I'm going to be doing more. So I'm a content developer for them, a columnist or whatever. And someone, and I communicate with these guys, they edit them, they get photos, they communicate with me, they make sure it's all done right. Those guys have to get paid. They're on the staff for Bass, right? So what I'm saying is there, and then of course, once an article's done, it goes out to way more people than anyone else. So they have to have money to pay these people in order to have the reach and continue to grow the reach that they have. Otherwise, they're just like everybody else. They're a local club who's just kind of, our payouts are 100% and they can never, no one's going to just volunteer their time to grow something to the level of Bassmaster. You got to get paid. And we obviously have to pay our dues and they're going to get more money out of tourism next year. When someone full-time is working on this, you pick up the phone and you say, hey, so-and-so lake that does never get a call. They never get a call about Bass Boat World because hopefully we're calling lakes that are smaller and more kayak, not necessarily smaller, but just places that the Bass Boat World can't go to for whatever reason. Maybe it is because they're smaller, or maybe it's because those tourism departments don't have the budget, but we don't need as much, right? So because we don't live stream, we don't have to pay camera guys right now, we don't have to all that stuff. So you can go somewhere, we can go to places the Bass Boat World can't. When you pick up the phone, you talk to that tourism department person. Let me tell you a little secret here, because I ran the River Bass and Tournament Trail for 10 years. When you pick up a phone, you call a tourism department person, and who doesn't get calls, and they all feel like their area they're working for is the coolest place on the planet and the whole world needs to know about it. They grew up there. They're so pumped about it. When you tell them that you feel like their area is gorgeous and the world needs to see more about it, we want to promote it through your rivers and creeks and lakes with the kayak fishing, they just open the wallet. They want you to come. They're like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I'm going to put this in front of the committee. This is so cool. We're going to get cool imagery. We're going to get cool videos. We're going to get heads in beds, which is the main thing. Get people in our area to spend money, hotels, foods, restaurants. They're ecstatic about it. It's not so with a full, but it takes a full-time person to do it. And that's what I think Bass is working towards. And hopefully they'll get a committee of anglers to help, because the last thing I'll mention.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
It circles all back around to what we were talking about with the YouTube and how you got to be doing something else to get money as a kayak angler full time now. You have to limit the amount, and I know this. There's no way to police this. I get that, but there's no way to police me putting fish in a cage the day before either, and putting them on my board the next day, right? A certain amount of fishing sport will always be honor system. You know what I mean? It just will. And then hope the polygraph test works, which by the way is real. I've been polygraphed like 6 times. So the last point I'm going to make is you have to make a rule, because Jay, I think you mentioned earlier, you've got to make a rule on limiting the amount of pre-fishing time, because when there's no rule, you feel like you've got to be out there a week before or a week and a half just fishing every day, learning everything about the lake in order to win. Why? Because if you're not, somebody else is, because there's no rule limiting it. If you make a rule limiting it, here's what will happen. Your Cody's, your the guys who are kind of going around kind of doing this full time, that anyway, Russ or whoever, Christine's a good example, but she does it now. Jody, everybody else, they will have time. Because if you limit, here's what I would do. I would say 2 weeks or 2 or 3 weeks before the tournament, right? You can only pre-fish, say anywhere 3, 4, 5 days. One of those numbers, pick a number, right? You can only pre-fish, let's say 5 days in the 3 weeks or 2 weeks, whatever you want to do before the tournament. But you get to pick those days. You get to pick. So it fits with your schedule. The working man can go in the weekend before, you know what I mean? And gets a little time and then come back home and then maybe show up the day before, the Friday before the tournament, and pre-fish that day to get in his. Maybe he can only fit in 2 or 3, but at worst he knows that Cody Milton, I use him as an example because he's young and he's traveling doing this full time. The worst case, you know, Cody only had 1 or 2 more days on you pre-fishing. And so you're willing to enter. People don't want to enter tournaments if it just keeps getting won by all the guys camping there for a week before, right? You're going to stop seeing entries from the family guys that have full-time job because they're like, yeah. I can't compete with that. So your entries are going to go down. But if you have a rule like that, It actually helps. Here's what's cool. It helps anyone doing this full time, like Cody, because right now he feels like he's got to be out there fishing a ton to make sure he has it dialed, right? Because if not, somebody else is. But if you make that rule and he's limited to 3 or 4 days or whatever it is, 5 days max, guess what he'll use those other days for? The content he's developing for those sponsors and YouTube and everything else that he needs to be doing to actually get paid in this full, like get paid in this sport. The other stuff we talked about, which really matters, not the winning, it's a win-win for everybody. You see what I'm saying? It helps everybody in the situation. It doesn't hurt anybody, and it makes them take a monkey off their back and feel like, oh, thank God, I don't have to be here for like 7 days straight just pounding this, you know, to get it dialed in so I can win this thing and win $5,000, you know, or $6,000-$7,000. So anyway, that's my last point that I feel like needs to get changed, hopefully, one of these days. And again, we can't police it, but if you see somebody out there and you're, I mean, it can be, you know, a polygraph will take care of it, I'm sure. But
I was just going to say, additionally though, like bringing in that director, right? Somebody to handle, to, you know, to help build the sport or build, you know, just build the season, you know, Drew's right. You know, you're going to have to pay somebody. So you know what you're going to see? Entry fees are going to go up. And then you know what you're going to see? Entries from like regular guys dropping out. And then what's going to happen is that you're actually going to create an elite series.
Yeah. Right.
That's essentially what's going to happen. And then you're going to see giant payouts coming out of that. And that's essentially, yeah. I think that's what's going to happen with Bass. Like they're the only one that can do it because the KBF can't.
No.
You know, I don't think the KBF can do it. Like I think Bass can do it. And I think Bass will do it because we do kind of need that. Right. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? You know, it's like you want more of a payout. Well, you're going to get it, and it's going to be harder for you to get there because now you're going to have multi-day tournaments. You're going to have bigger, bigger costs like up front. Mm-hmm. You're going to have like more restriction, right? So now you can't, to Drew's point, you can't get out there a week ahead of time because guess what? Pre-fishing ain't allowed, right? So you got to get out there 2 weeks before. You know, or do like what the pro boat guys do when like I saw in Kentucky Lake, I forget who it was. The water was down at Winter Pool. One of the guys put his boat in and he was waypointing where all the structure was on the shore for summer pool when it goes up. Point being, he's putting in time like months away from his tournament because he can't be there, when it's time. Yeah. Yeah, yep. So I mean, there's so much going on. It's just going to be difficult, man. You know,
yeah.
But you're going to get what all you right, want, well, though. I think you're going to get your AOI and all that out of it.
Yeah, oh yeah, we're going to have a lot of improvements. I got to run, but thanks again for having me.
Thanks
on,
for
guys.
Coming, Doug. Appreciate it.
Last thing I'll say is I have found some fish here on Champlain. The only problem I've got now is I'm going to do my typical spin out the night before. You know, tomorrow I'll probably be spinning out on where to go because I got fish that I've caught good fish up north. I've caught good fish down south. And I'm just like spinning out where to go and what to do and how to
which
make it
means east and west, really? He's like misleading people. Yeah, I've been north and south.
Yeah, right.
Go with your first instinct.
That's right. This lake is basically just north and south, and we are only on New York side. So trust me, it really is north and south. I've caught them everywhere, but we'll see. I'm definitely struggling with where to go and what to do, but I'll figure it out.
And watch out with Catherine Fields. He's going to be
stunning. Yeah, right.
She's gunning for you.
All right, guys. Thanks again. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Drew.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you.
Good luck, brother.
All right. Bye-bye.
So good conversation, man.
Yeah, going a little bit back to
when Armando cuts you off every 30 seconds, but that's cool.
My bad. Go ahead.
He goes, now that Drew's gone, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Now, but great info by Drew.
Go ahead, Drew. What were you going to say?
No, that, I get it. You guys are playing devil's advocate because we're on text. Everybody's like, yeah, Armando, you're right. But when I get here, everybody's like, okay, well, now I have to battle everybody. No, but going back to what Jay was saying, and that's the main thing that I think you, Jay and I disagree, is like when you look at, you say, and it's, I agree with Drew, they need a full-time, they need to pay a full-time tournament director. Isn't AJ the full-time director for Hobie BOS? Isn't Hobie BOS pay him out more than Bass Nation?
It's my understanding, and I don't know. I don't know AJ personally. I think I've met him once. I've talked to him on a podcast, but he works directly for Hobie, I believe, as like a territory rep or something like that. Now, I don't know if they pay him more. I don't think you'll ever get that information out of him because I think, frankly, that's nobody's business.
No, of course. No, I agree with that. But it's nobody's business.
But yeah, I mean, 100%. You know, they need to have somebody running their events full time. And when we had Dwayne Wally on last week, you know, he specifically said, I'm not getting paid by Bass. You know, but he is guiding. I forget who it was. I think it was John Rapp dropped in the chat. Like, I'm sure Dwayne is trying to educate them as much as possible.
Yeah.
But the question is Bass going to listen, or is Bass just going to do what they want to do? So that, I mean, that's a big struggle, you know, like, and you know, we're playing devil's advocate. And to be quite frank, like Jay said, I got no skin in the game. I could frankly give two shits, you know,
we're armchairing this totally.
Yeah. I mean, I don't fish bass events, Hobie events. Once a year, I usually fish a KBF event. I fish some club events here and there. Like I gave that stuff up a long time ago. You know, the big thing is, you know, when I was hitting trail series hard, there wasn't the money there like to make up for it. Like even if you took first place, you might have made, after all your expenses and everything, you might have made $1,000. You know what I mean? Like to me, it wasn't worth the time away from my family, my job, you know, other things I like to do, things like that. Now, if it was, I was making 5, 10, 15, 20 G's or more, totally different story. I'd be all over it. But I think Drew brought up a great point. You know, like you put those restrictions on those tournaments as far as pre-fishing goes. Now guys are focusing their energy on the things they need to do for sponsors. Like that's the biggest thing. Like, you know, I'm not trying to knock the guys that are winning tons of tournaments, but you know, you look at those guys, and I'm friends with some of these guys. You know, I'm not trying to like throw them under the bus or anything, but you know, like Cody Milton, Josh Stewart, Russ Snyder's, like their social media presence isn't that great. Like, yes, they do have some sponsors, but had they had that background other than just winning some tournaments, they'd be a lot better off. You know, Cody wouldn't be driving a Sprinter. He'd be driving a Winnebago. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm talking about there. And I'm not trying to attack those guys. I'm just saying, like, And that's their thing. They don't like that stuff. They like to be on the water and fishing. But unfortunately, when you take it to the professional level, you have to be professional. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to do those extra things. And unfortunately, until we get to that point where you got enough guys doing that, Bass is going to go, look at these guys. They got it together. We can have them represent our brand, and we can pump this up like we do, you know, all the other, you know, big bass tournaments. You know, you not only have to build your brand personally, but, you know, you have to work with some companies and companies outside of the kayak fishing world, right? Because mm-hmm. Let's be honest, kayak fishing world in general is pretty small. Yeah. And those companies don't have huge budgets to spend to get to the point where, like Drew talked about, you know, he's spending 20 grand or whatever a year on tournaments with all his stuff figured in. Whereas now that stuff jumps up to a bigger professional level, 40, 50, 60, 100 grand a year they're spending on entry fees and travel and blah, 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 blah. Now you need a lot of support. Because there's not very many people out there that can just go to the bank account and be like, I got my entry fees and travel covered for the year, yeah. You know, unless you're some kind of tech guru or something, you know, I mean, that's just, it's what, half or a quarter of 1% maybe that are out there in the fishing world that could get away with doing that.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, to Brian's point, and this is a shameless plug, Raw Dog Tactical, right?
Oh, my God.
They make, well, no, I mean, you know, like as a kayak angler, you're in the middle of nowhere a lot of times, and there's some of us that carry, right? Okay. You know, can still carry. Point being that there are some kickbacks from Raw Dog that I am able to use for like tournaments and things like, well, when I was doing that, but just in fishing in general, where I get to benefit from that too. You got to think outside the box. You got to bring some of these other, that was the point really, is we got to bring, you know, other companies that you wouldn't think. You have to like
unendemic,
you have to tell them like, hey man, like I use your stuff all the time, like it's a blah blah blah, you know, I'm a kayak fisherman. And a lot of them are like, oh wow, that's awesome. You know, it's like I even did it with this shoe sponsor before too. I won't say their name, but like they were a wakeboard, you know, shoe, and I'm, you know, former skater, and I'm like, hey, I still like wearing skate shoes, those are cool, and they're water shoes. I'm like, hey, do you guys want to do this? And they're like, sure. That's totally crazy. We never thought of doing that. But I mean, it's exactly that point. You know, if you want more of that, you got to go outside the box and make it appealing to them.
Yeah.
You know, and get their money's worth.
Yeah.
I got to say something. I got to hop out, but I just wanted to say one last word and then talking specifically about the Bass Nation. The best way that I can illustrate is this. When you go, let's say, like Ruth Chris Steakhouse, right? You're going to pay top dollar to go to a steakhouse. You expect that steak to be very well cooked, the mashed potatoes perfect, the green beans perfect. If you're paying that much for that steak, you're expecting everything to be perfect. If it's undercooked, if the sides orders are charred or undercooked, you're going to say, why am I here? Just because it has the name Ruth Chris Steakhouse? Is that what I'm paying for? No, I expect
Let me ask you this.
That's my point. If I'm going to pay a lot more, I expected the product that is there.
Let me ask you this. How long has Hobie been running?
Hobie Kayak. Everybody makes a big deal out of it. Everybody makes a big deal out of it. I understand. We're armchair.
How long has Hobie been running? How long is KBF running? How long has Bass been in the kayak fishing world?
There's the thing. A lot of people make a big deal out of that.
Everything you've done in life, did you get it right the first time?
We are armchair tournament directors. I know
that. You can't even answer the question.
But what I'm saying is, Armando's going to run for office.
What I'm saying is,
you are acting like a politician right now, dude.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. Bluehost.com.
Do you really think it's not hard to put rules in place that are going to make the anglers better? Like, we're not talking about, hey, we need you to reinvent the wheel. I mean, the formula is there. The blueprint is there. It's not that hard. And again, it's not, Brian, it's not that my point of view is it's cutting corners. That's what I don't like. The cutting corners, because my name allows me to cut corners, because my brand, because the aura behind my brand allows me to cut corners. I don't like it. It is what it is.
What were the corners that were cut?
Dude, how much are we talking about? The angler of the year, the making it easier.
That's cutting a corner?
Yes. It means saying I'm not committing to doing this. Not bringing the schedule in on time. What they should. Like, the schedule came out really, really late. And it really cost them on Eufaula.
I think that was addressed the last show, though.
It's still cutting corners.
When
Bass
schedules everything, they schedule everything at once.
And that's a problem. You're combining kayak into something where it shouldn't be there. What the college series, high school series, has nothing to do with kayak. If you want to combine the classic with the kayak national championship, that's fine. I get that. That's perfect. There's some logistic of it. But having a kayak series running at the same time as maybe having something else like a college series or another. There's no anglers out there, maybe other than Hope and then Christian Fisher, who does both. It's not going to say, well, I'm going to skip the Bass kayak series because I have a boat tournament with Bass. It's one of the things where you're grouping things together when you don't need to, because again, it makes it easier for you to do that. That's what I mean about cutting corners. You're saying, well, you know, it's more convenient for me to do this way. Well, yeah, that's cutting corners.
Well, this is a good point, right? Like, Dan says he can't pump them up because they've been doing tournaments for so long and they've done it for 50 years. Well, they've been doing big bass tournaments. They haven't been doing kayak tournaments.
The blueprint is pretty much the same.
Totally different formats. You got guys bringing fish into weigh-ins. Instead, you got technology involved for your weigh-ins. That's completely two different things.
Ryan, it's when you fish a Bass Nation, I fished the Bass at Fork. I'm not saying it sucked. Again, Dwayne Wally did a phenomenal job.
But for someone saying that it didn't suck, you complain an awful lot.
No. It's not. That's what I'm specifying. I'm saying it didn't suck. I just specified that. It didn't suck. But when you look at what Hobie does with their tournaments in Sam Rayburn and what KBF Trail did, and I faced the KBF Trail in Trinity, it's completely different. I mean, Hobie BOS just shows up there. Here's your three, here's your three trophies, 1, 2, and 3 pictures. Thank you. Go ahead, go home. Hobie, we're talking about Bass Fork. That wasn't a championship. That was just a regular trail. What did Hobie BOS did on Sam Rayburn? We rented out a place. We're going to have video cameras. We're going to live stream it on Facebook. We're going to have the guys do speeches. It's not just going to be the top three. That's what I mean by cutting corners. When before the pandemic, Hobie BOS, you go to a tournament, you get fed. You go to a KBF Trail now, you get fed and you get...
Man, you love that stick.
Yeah, I was going to say, like...
That's the point of it. Well, Hobie BOS is just like, hey...
such a thing with fishing tournaments. Because, like, why do fishermen think they're so damn entitled to get a free...
It's not that entitled, Brian. It's not that entitled, Brian. It's like other people are doing it and they're charging us less to do that.
Okay.
That's the point.
So devil's advocate... Why don't you go fish those and not fish bass?
Oh, I mean, I fish bass. I recognize it. I was like, hey,
I know. But why do you fish bass? Let me ask you that. Why do you fish
bass? Because I love fishing. That's nothing to do with bass. It's a tournament. I want to go. That's it.
I think it would be fair to say, and let me know if you disagree, but I think a lot of guys fish bass because bass is a big name. That guys know, despite not having Angler of the Year, not have, you know, X amount of dollars being pulled out of the prize pool and whatever else, guys know that bass is going to reach a much wider audience than Hobie, than KBF, than their small kayak trails and things like that. Which, you know, to those guys that are fishing bass, obviously they're taking it serious, right? Like, not just some average Joe is entering a bass event for $400 because it's, you know, it's a bass event. You know, most guys in the kayak fishing world will fish KBF or a Hobie event because it's cheaper, right? But I think those guys are paying to fish for that bigger name because they're going to have a bigger opportunity, like Drew was talking about, with sponsorships, those tournaments being much bigger on a national scale, more awareness. And I agree, man. Like, I'm not trying to argue with you. You know, I'm trying to play both sides of the fence.
Yeah. You're trying and we have to. We have to.
Exactly. So I'm not trying to jab at anybody. I like getting you all fired up. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I think that's just it, right? Like, that's what it's going to come down to. It's still young. And I get Dan's point. Bass has been running tournaments for 50 years, and they should have it dialed in, and they should know how to do this and this and that.
They should.
I totally agree. However, this is something completely different and completely new. When you involve the technology versus guys just coming back to the ramp and walking up to the stage with a bag, that's totally different. Then now they have to have somebody who knows how to score fish. They have to have guys sitting down to score fish. You know, like look at the first classic event, right? Or championship event. What a joke that award ceremony was. The whole kayak fishing community talked about it. They treated us like a bunch of little children, right? And that pissed a lot of people off. Mm-hmm. This year, a little better.
A lot better, yes.
A little more understanding. But it still wasn't that bass classic, you know, blowout event like it should have been, right?
I disagree.
Your championship. No,
somebody
no.
Somebody commented at it like they weren't happy with what Bass Nation did this year. They thought they could have done more. That was like, no, I'm more than happy with what Bass Nation did for the top 10 this year. I thought it was great.
At the same time, you look at what they do for the winner of the classic and what they did for the winner of the kayak championship winner.
But we're not there.
Two different scenarios.
Yeah, but we're not there. I don't expect to get that treatment. I don't expect it.
That's what I'm talking about. Dan is saying that for 50 years, they've done this awesome job. Okay. Again, like to his point, that ceremony should have had the same respect is a classic winner if they've been doing it right. And that's what Dan's talking about.
I can't respond for that.
You know, Todd Patrick, I get it, right? You'll never pay $250 for a one-day event. That's a joke. $260. That's your choice, bro. You have that choice. You're grown.
This is like the same conversation from before.
Exactly, that's what we were talking about.
It's like you want to change these things, or you want them to change it, but
this is my point of view. I'm not calling to boycott Bass. I don't want Bass to leave. I want him to stay. I grew up watching Bass. I want him to stay. But we at the podcast, we're by anglers for the anglers. We're the voice of the anglers, and we try to amplify it. We don't speak for all of them, but we speak for the majority. And we talk about the issues that cater to the anglers, not to the corporations, not to Hobie BOS, not to KBF, not to Bass Nation, to the anglers. And that's my point. I'm talking about the points.
I totally agree. They want to work. Yeah. I agree. I want to address this with Todd because I wish Todd.
I really got to go, guys. So
you go. The one last thing I wanted to address, because Todd, I know, posted up a bunch of money things in Kayak Bass Nation as far as like what was withheld and things like that. But what I would like to see, since Todd crunches numbers and he did that, is I'd like to see what the numbers of the money was held out of Hobie and what's held out of KBF, because nobody's talking about those two either, right? Like the money held back. However, I will say, Hobie is very transparent on X amount of dollars being held back from each angler and where that money's going. KBF, there's nothing. There's nothing that shows. So it would be interesting to see those three laid out right next to each other. But I agree. Bass held a crap load of money back. Where it went, I don't know. And I think that's why a lot of guys like Hobie, because you know exactly where that money's being held back from, where it's going, things like that. KBF, it's kind of up in the air. Trey Johnson said, 2019, the entry fee for a Bassmaster Elite angler was 43 Gs. Those guys are paying for the exposure Bass gives. Kayakers will be no different. You'll have to pay an upfront charge for that exposure. Totally agree. That was kind of my point. 30K, and I think that was over six events, maybe five events. So if it was six events, that's five G's a tournament on average. That's I don't know how accurate that is, though, because I'd like to know if you accounted for PayPal fees, Tourney X fees, like all that crap. I'd like to see what the breakdown of that is. Five plus a championship. So that's six tournaments, 30K. He says it's very accurate, but what is accounted for in that? Like, is it just, this is the prize money, this was the entry fees, this is the difference, and then you added them up? Like, there's fees that go into running tournaments. You know that. I'm not going to argue through a chat. I'd like to see the breakdown, because there was no breakdown from what I saw. So anyways.
Send us a spreadsheet.
Send us a spreadsheet. I'd love to see it. Or if you want to come on next week and talk about it, let's talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. You know, that's what we've been doing here. Open format. I think it's great conversation to have, hear everybody's point of views, whether they're good or bad or whatever, man. Like, if there's conversation going about it, that's when change is going to happen. So another hour and a half episode, Mr. Randall.
I know, we're just going to keep going longer and longer.
Yeah. So Todd, hit us up if you want to come on next week and chat about it. We'll get you on, brother. For everybody else tuning in, you can catch everything on any of the podcast platforms. This will go up tonight. And, you know, we're here every Thursday night. Already a huge I'm a huge Trey Johnson fan. Trey's been dropping some good stuff in the chat. I mean, and that's the thing. That's what I love about it. You know, like, again, this is open conversation. Like I said twice or three times before, like, I don't have any skin in the game. Jay doesn't have any skin in the game. You know, we're just trying to play both sides of the fence. And, you know, all that could happen from that is good ideas and things like that. So it's good to have healthy conversations. We're here every Thursday night, 7 Central, 8 Eastern. You can find us on Waypoint TV, YouTube. If you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel, go over there and smash that subscribe button. Those of you that are tuned in on the YouTube channel, thank you. Those on Facebook, thank you as well. Anything else, Jay?
I'm a little jealous. I don't have any fans.
Well, you got an OnlyFans, so you got some fans.
This is true. Yeah, so I'll drop that link in the...
Yeah, I think we'll not do that.
You never know what's going to happen on there, man.
Right on. Until next time, boys and girls, tight lines, smooth paddling. Peace.